Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. John Couch on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing together. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. What do they say? The Ides of March? March 15th, 2021. What a crazy weekend. Snowfall when I woke up Saturday morning, John Munger and Jeff Rogers. And I put this out on Facebook. I said, this is probably one for the record books where you would have two daylight snow events in one winter here in Tucson.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
I mean, it was a gorgeous Saturday morning, and especially after my fever broke after my second Moderna shot. So I was really, really feeling ready to be normal again, John.
So good.
We are in our 11th year here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Lots to talk about here today on 1030, Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's can take care of all of your framing needs. They've got art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services. They're now doing e-commerce in their newly designed, redesigned website. So check it out, moesgallery.com. And they're located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. So our Monday political face-off, seated to my right, John Munger is here. Tucson attorney, former head of the Arizona Board of Regents, Republican candidate for Arizona governor, Jeff Rogers, Tucson, also well-known Tucson attorney. Both these guys, very well-known. Former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, how was your weekend?
Wonderful weekend. It was exciting to see that snow, and it was exciting to see it go away and have a halfway nice day yesterday.
How did your horse like it?
My horses aren't terribly fond of the snow, but
they probably don't know what it is.
What the heck?
They don't see enough of it to be that used to it.
Yeah, it was selection. What do they call it? Selection Sunday for the big dance, the NC2A, and John Munger, UA, not in the tournament. The University chose a 1-year self-imposed ban on postseason play, hopefully to get ahead of what many believe, John Munger, will be sanctions coming from the NC2A. The program's in hot water. The president, President Robbins, John, says he's sticking by Coach Miller, who still has a year on his contract. If you were still heading up the Board of Regents, would you let Miller play out one more year?
Absolutely. Let the investigation play out. He's under investigation. We've gotten in this country to the point where if somebody accuses you of something, you're supposed to resign. You know, you let the investigation play out, and if there are repercussions from that, fine. But you don't jump to conclusions before the investigation's done. That's like convicting people without a trial. And we don't do that. We give people due process in this country, and Sean Miller hasn't had his due process yet. So let the investigation be completed, and then we'll go from there.
Jeff, would you let him go?
I'd probably let him go. The problem you have is that he's now coaching with one hand tied behind his back. If they don't extend his contract for another year at least, then he's going to have a lot of trouble recruiting in this offseason. He had a lot of trouble recruiting last season, and you could see that from the mediocre team that he put on the floor that finished, what, fifth or sixth in the Pac-12. So, you know, the problem we've got is that I've read all of these allegations that once the ESPN won that lawsuit in Phoenix in Maricopa County, they had to release all of the notice of allegations, and they're really quite serious. And I think Arizona is going to get hit with a 2-year ban on tournaments, and they're going to get lose some scholarships, and they're going to have some recruiting restrictions placed upon them. I think we're going to see some really major punishment of the University of Arizona. But that ultimately is laid at the feet of the head coach, even if the head coach didn't actually participate in bribing the players, didn't paying their families or all of the other things that have been now proven in a court of law, and many people have pled guilty to it. So, you know, I think we're kind of in a dangerous spot. You know, I like John's idea to, you know, let's let it play out, but letting it play out is going to further weaken the program. And just yesterday, and there's no scandal involved in this, just yesterday, his brother was fired from Indiana University with a $10.5 million buyout. They chose to buy him out. They had some donations from some of their supporters that paid his buyout, and that's merely for being unsuccessful as a head coach in the Big Ten. And Miller has not had a successful year in 4 or 5 years. I mean, he really has been introduced us to mediocrity, something we're not used to in Arizona any time recently.
John, people are sick of buyouts, though. Do you think that?
Really sick of buyouts.
Right now with the couple of football coaches.
We're still buying out a couple of football coaches.
Look, millions of this
is certainly the economics of it.
This is a game. It's a game. And you know, Arizona, if something was done, we're going to be punished whether Sean Miller is still the head coach or not. So that is not justification for getting rid of him, because we'll still be punished. Let the guy have a fair hearing. Let him give him an opportunity to defend himself, and then we'll see what happens. I am just dead set against this cancel culture where we go around and cancel everybody who's accused of anything. That's just wrong.
All right, let's switch gears. We've got a ton of local things to talk about. I want to note the passing of former mayor Bob Walkup, 84 years old, dying from a genetic lung ailment. Jeff Rogers, I will always remember Bob Walkup with a huge smile on his face. He would come on to my program on Channel 6 every month. He'd walk into the studio. He'd light up the studio. Big smile. Guy was always smiling. Very positive guy. Everybody liked, I think, Bob Walkup. You might not like his policies, but they liked him.
Well, I liked him an awful lot. I really did. And I think he and then his successor, Jonathan Rothschild, really set good examples for what a mayor should be. And that is not partisan politics, but, you know, getting the job done for the people of Tucson, getting, you know, potholes filled, roads paved, and walk up. He went through some crises that he had to address. If you remember the water pipe crisis that happened early in his first term.
The brown water everybody's faucets.
Yeah, I mean, he had to deal with some tough stuff, and
the RTA
and the problems with that,
and whether or not to have a downtown light rail.
The early years of Rio Nuevo were a mess, you know, until we got Fletcher McCusker and some of the other people appointed to that board, and so, you know, he dealt with a lot of issues, and he dealt with them in a non-personal manner. He never attacked anyone personally. He was the kindest, warmest, nicest person you'd ever meet. And I think we need more leaders like that in both Republican and the Democratic Party.
I agree. I think Bob was a wonderful guy. I did not always agree with him on his politics. Not so much as politics, but his dealings with constituents. He was an incredibly nice person. I agree with you. He was always smiling. His favorite term was green light on that, green light on that.
Absolutely. He used that term.
Of course, he might call you up later and say, well, I've changed my mind.
Exactly.
But he was a great guy, and he'll be missed. And his wife, Beth, is a sweetheart.
Oh,
she's a wonderful lady,
too. She is. And I would ask him every month, Mayor, when are we going to see, are we seeing any progress downtown in moving forward? And he would begin with that word, absolutely. You bet, Bill. Well, it's happened.
And except for the coronavirus and the pandemic, and how it's devastated things, downtown is booming. I mean, can't walk around without you. It's still booming. I mean, in spite of this.
That's thanks to Fletcher.
Yeah.
All right.
And his
group. When we come back, Raheena Romero may be packing her bags for Washington. We'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about the open seat that's coming up as Ann Kirkpatrick retires. Lots to talk about still on our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. But right now I want to talk about my favorite bakery. Yes, I had another giant cinnamon roll over the... Talk about Saturday morning. What a great day to have a nice cinnamon roll and a hot cup of coffee or maybe a hot cup of hot chocolate. Mona's Danish Bakery is home to the giant cinnamon roll, but they're officially home to the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. I noticed that owner and chief baker Steve is making more of the cinnamon rolls because I think some of the Buckmaster folks have been going in and ordering the cinnamon rolls. So we had a huge tray of them, just came out of the oven when we were up there on Saturday morning. Their website's Mona's Danish Bakery. Bakery.com. We'll be right back on Buckmaster with the Monday Political Face-Off.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. The website, moesgallery.com. Jeff Rogers is here, and John Munger. It's our Monday Political Face-Off, and now we're going to play musical chairs, political musical chairs. The news that Congressman Grijalva, during my interview with him Friday, he confirmed a rumor that had been going around, Jeff and John, probably for 3 months, that Regina Romero, the mayor of Tucson, was in line for a assistant urban housing and urban development secretary position. The congressman said, yes, she is a serious candidate. So, John and Jeff, if this happens, the consul then will decide who will serve out the rest of Regina's term. That's the way that's going to work. Nikki Lee is the vice mayor right now, so Nikki then would call together the remaining council members, and then where it goes from there, who knows? I've heard all sorts of things about who, I think all of them probably want it.
Well, from my perspective, the person on that mayor and council that I know have known for heck 41 years is Richard Fimbres, and probably the best consensus builder on that council is Richard Fimbres. I think he would probably be the ideal person, and he probably wouldn't be looking at it as a long-term career change, whereas some of the rest of them probably would be thinking about the minute they were sworn in, they would be starting to run for the next term. I would think he would naturally be a strong contender for that, but whether or not he can get the 4 votes out of the 6 remaining members if she leaves is anyone's guess. He also would probably be a favorite with the business community and would be something that would be a little more akin to Jonathan Rothschild's leadership.
Any thoughts, John?
Well, really, it's you're talking inside politics for the Democratic Party because they're all Democrats.
Yes, they are.
And the Republicans are going to be left out of it. Jeff knows far more about this than I do,
right?
What they're thinking, what they're talking about.
Well, let's move on to something that with the open congressional district seat coming up in CD2, John, Ann Kirkpatrick announced she's retiring. So there'll be a lot of names. There already are a lot of names floating around. One of them on the Republican side, Steve Christie, Pima County Supervisor, who's the only Republican on either. There's none on the council. He's the only one on the Board of Supervisors. He basically took his name out of contention today on my colleague Zach Yenzer's show, Tipping Point, at 9 o'clock this morning. But there are some other Republicans, I'm sure, that are going to step up.
Well, there are. There are a number of them. There are, of course, the candidates who ran in the last election. They're going to want to run again. Jeff here mentioned during a break a great name, and that's Ray Carroll. We haven't heard from Ray, and I would think Ray would be very interested in that, and he'd be a great candidate that I think people could call us around.
You would really like a centrist candidate like a Ray Carroll.
Well, I think I want a candidate who will who has principles. You talk about centrist. I don't know what that means. I want a candidate who believes in the Republican agenda, I don't think you can run somebody who's to the far right and win this district. It is a mixed district,
especially with this redistricting that's coming.
Yeah, and I think that. We'll have to see what the district looks like, of course, that we don't know yet. But Ray would be a good candidate that I think could attract a lot of independent votes and maybe even some Democratic votes. The question with Ray is whether he is enough of a Trump supporter that he could get the Trump votes. I don't know.
That's a good point.
There could be a big movement just to stay home. People are crazy if they do that. I'm going to be telling everybody to vote for the Republican candidate, get him in the Republican caucus. And I think Ray would, Ray knows how to play that political game. He's very good at it. And he's good at building a consensus. So I think Ray would be a great candidate.
All right, Jeff, go ahead. Who are we hearing?
Well, I think, as I had mentioned to John, I thought that I've said for decades, if you want somebody to hold that seat like Colby did for a generation, then Ray Carroll's your man. And because he's going to appeal to a lot of slices of the pie, and he's not going to offend very many Democrats. And I don't mind the word moderate so much. You know, you're going have to have a moderate Democrat or a moderate Republican to win that district as it exists now. And I imagine it won't change vastly, but it could, because we're going to at least add one new congressional district after the redistricting. But we're not going to know what that district looks like until early fall, because they've postponed for 6 months the census distribution numbers and figures.
Juan Sisgamonti is a name that is popping up by Hank Amos, who's coming up next. In fact, I'm going to ask Hank Amos if he's interested.
Yeah, Hank would be a great candidate.
Yeah, and he just said he will give us an opinion on that. Go ahead, Jeff. Who else did
you? And then when we look at the Democrats, I think probably the strongest emerging candidate already is Kirsten Engel, who's a state representative right now. And I think that she's probably the strongest of the candidates. It's hard for me to imagine Matt Hines running again, although he'd be a very, very strong candidate. He was just elected to the Board of Supervisors and seems kind of soon to be, you know, changing horses there. Randy Freese is always a name that's bantied about.
Dr. Freese.
He would make a really fine candidate. I kind of can't imagine Engel and Freese running against each other.
How about Raheena Romero? If she takes the HUD position in D.C., spends a year back there, sees how redistricting goes when that's all released in the fall, could she come back then to run for Congress?
I think that would probably not be a wise move. I don't think that you're going to have to be less partisan to win that district. And that's not a district somebody like Grijalva or Romero could win, I think, on a consistent basis. They'd have to get awfully lucky. And I just don't think that district is designed for her. So she would be, I think, kind of a long shot. And I think Daniel Hernandez is a name that gets bantied about quite a bit, too. He's a little more moderate than her. But again, I don't think that he probably would have the strength to pull through in that district.
Another name has come up on the Republican side that Jeff just mentioned. That's Juan Sisgamonti. That Juan is very strong. And
he's worked for the governor's office.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, no. Juan is highly respected within the party, and would be an excellent candidate. So we've got some candidates. It's going to end up being somebody who can appeal to a broad base, and it's going to need to appeal to a broad base. I think either Ray Carroll or Juan could, and there may be other names that I haven't thought of. This has just happened, so we don't know who's going to pop up.
Congressman Grijalva, in my interview, said he's not thinking of retiring, so he's going to go, looks like certainly another term. So there's been a lot of speculation that his daughter, Adelita Grijalva, is interested in being a congressperson.
Well, I love Adelita. I think she'd make a fine congresswoman would support her. I've supported her every time she's run for any public office, and I would support her for that one as well.
Can you imagine how many candidates? I was just reflecting on when Grijalva first ran in 2002. I moderated over at Channel 6 a primary debate among Democrats, and my buddy Jeff Lattice, I believe, was one of the candidates in that group. But I'm thinking there were at least a dozen, and there might have been 15 candidates.
Oh, sure.
You could see that happening again here.
From both parties.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be wide open. And So we'll just have to see. And one of the big elements is how is the district going to lay out with redistricting?
And one of the other big dynamics that we're going to see both in that district and in others are, you know, are Republicans going to look at this pragmatically and say, well, this is a candidate that can win this district, or are they going to go to some of the extreme right candidates that are promoted by Donald Trump, and that, which is a recipe for losing a general election, it pumps up the base, but you know, that's a pretty moderate district. It's a swing district.
It always has been a swing district.
And it took somebody like Jim Colby to hold it for a generation for the Republicans, and also one of my favorite people around as well.
Definitely one of mine.
John, you're not thinking of it. No.
I have no desire to move from Tucson and try and establish two homes. And no, I'm not running.
Yeah, and living way out west like this, you know, you gotta come home to defend the district.
You fly back every weekend.
So you gotta fly back at least 3 out of 4 weekends, and you know that's a demanding thing.
No. All right. We will have Hank Amos here in the studio after the break. But, gentlemen, thank you very much, John and Jeff. Always good to see you both. Thanks.
Good to see you, Bill. Jeff?
Thanks, Bill.
The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We love Moe's. They can take care of all of your framing needs. They'll take care of putting some beautiful custom frame mirrors in your home. They did at our home, and they look great. Also, check out the newly redesigned website at moesgallery.com. Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. Hank Amos is coming up next, right after this. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, a busy day in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, our go-to place whenever we need something very beautiful for the garden or in the home. With Zocalo Village, some of that handmade furniture from Mexico and Latin America, beautiful things at 3384 East River Road, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more, open daily. They're in their 51st year. The Buckmaster Show guests on our live line appear courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. It's a pleasure now to welcome back to the program in person, first time. Well, actually, I did see Hank. I think I saw him President's Day at Zen Burger, February, right before the pandemic. Hank was really heating up. And that's the last time I've seen you in person. We've talked on the phone, but it's good to have you back in studio, man.
It's good to be back. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
George H. Amos III, known to his friends as Hank. He's a fourth generation Tucsonan. Hank, of course, his family. Hank's currently the chairman of the board and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust, Incorporated, 1911. Tucson Realty and Trust, Arizona's oldest real estate company, and I love their logo, the Target. When you see the Target logo, actually Tucson Realty and Trust beat Target to the punch. The Target logo is missing a circle.
That's right. From a lawsuit that we had with them.
Yes, yeah. A lawsuit. And so when you see that Target, that's Tucson Realty and Trust. Hank, let me ask you a quick political question before we get into the commercial real estate market. Got an open seat here in CD2. You were fast-tracked to become a congressperson or a U.S. senator in this state. You served on the Arizona Board of Regents. You were chair of the Regents. What soured you on going forward with politics? Are you glad that you made that decision not to pursue that and leave Tucson?
I am glad that I didn't pursue that. I think there was a time that definitely I did want to pursue that. And I've had the opportunities to run on both the Senate side or the Congress.
Yeah.
But it's a lot different now. So, you know, when you run, people really try to tear you down, and I didn't want to put my family through it. I have thick skin, but I don't think my skin's that thick. And you look at the people that are not everybody that's serving in Congress or in the Senate, but the games that are played, the tricks that are done, there's not really service to the country anymore. It's service to the party, and the priorities are just backwards. And
nonpartisanship is dead.
It's dead, and I just don't want to participate in an arena like that or a format like that. So, you know, I think a long time ago was a little bit different, and but now it's not something that I would want to do. So glad I did not make that decision.
You're a big fan of Juan Sisgamati. His name came up in our face-off discussion.
I am a big fan of Juan. I think Juan has a lot of talent. He's obviously learned a lot for running Southern Arizona on behalf of the governor, and he's done a very good job. Very pragmatic, very polite. He listens. I think he has a nice touch to him, and I think he can appeal to both parties. So I think he would be a great candidate. Don't know, you know, I know he has interest in moving up the ladder. Not so sure maybe that he thinks this may be his time, but he's definitely qualified to run, and I think he would do a wonderful job.
Tucson Realty and Trust focuses on commercial real estate, but the residential market certainly is one of the hottest in the country right now, isn't it, here?
No doubt about it. And it's times like this I wish I was still in the residential business.
I wondered if that went through your mind. Maybe we made a mistake at Tucson Realty. Maybe we should have kept an arm of the real estate business available.
Well, as you know, we sold our residential division.
You did. When was that?
2000. We had about 500 agents. We sold it to
500 agents
to the parent company of Long Realty, and I think they're a very good company, do a good job. In fact, they've helped me with some of these stats.
Yeah.
But the market is the best market they've ever had. It's crazy. They did about $5.7 billion last year. The year before, they did about $4.9 billion. That's a 16.4% change in the closed sales volume. Number of units sold, they did almost a little bit of over 19,000 transactions. That's up 4.4% from the previous year. What's crazy too is the inventory. We talked about this and we talked about you off air. We were talking about the multiple offers coming on properties.
We had Randy Rogers of Tucson Association of Realtors on Thursday's show. He says there's very little inventory, multiple offers in many cases, and homes are selling, in some cases, Hank Amos, above the asking price.
Well, I'm going to get into that. So that's exactly right. So, you know, at the beginning of January 2020, there were 2,500 homes and condos on the market, approximately. At the end of the year, at the end of December, there was 1,160 homes or townhomes on the condos on the market. That's half of what they had the year before. And you know what's left is really the broken toys, right? The ones that are just
what they
not
call
that
fixer-uppers.
Extreme
fix-up.
Right. So half the supply went down. So here's an interesting statistic, that houses in Tucson are selling for 99.8% of the listed price with only 20 days on the market, compared to 36 days the year before. And the year before was pretty remarkable. And here's something that's really interesting where prices have gone. So in January 2018, if you bought a home, you paid probably about $264,000 for it, approximately, average. That went from $264,000 went to about $280,000 in change in 2019. Then it went to $303,000 in January of 2020, okay, and change. That average price of $303,789 in January 2020, that home then went and increased in value to $349,500 $545. That much in a year, and as the supply drops, price increases, Econ 101. That's a 15.9% increase in the price of a home in 1 year.
Wow.
I mean, incredible.
You can pretty much get what you want then for a home if you're selling.
Yeah. If you have a great home and it looks nice, you're going to kill it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that obviously brings us to what you are currently doing, and that's the commercial end. So we've got a whole nother segment for you. Maybe this would be a good point to take the break and then come back with Hank Amos and talk about does that big red hot residential market, how does it help, or maybe it doesn't, or eventually it will help commercial real estate. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. My friend Hank Amos is with me in studio. We'll be right back.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. I'm so excited about one of our longtime sponsors, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. New Mexico has been tough as far as they clamped down with the restrictions. The good news is there's a slow rollout in the Land of Enchantment, opening up again to out-of-state visitors. So now is the time to go to Southwest New Mexico, spelled out.org. Start your planning now for for that getaway over to Silver City. It's only a three-hour drive. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, there's a ton of outdoor activities for you, including the Gila National Wilderness, beautiful area of the Southwest. Hank Amos with me in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Hank, the chairman and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust. We were talking in our first segment with Hank about the hot real estate market, residential side. In other words, the housing side of real estate. But Hank is going to tell us now about the stuff he deals with every day, and that's the commercial end, which includes industrial, office, retail space. What's your report, Hank?
Well, you know, before we get into it, too, I just wanted to mention the reason why the residential market is so hot
is
because this change in workplace, right?
Oh.
Where can I work, right?
Yeah, you could work really anywhere.
You can work anywhere. And so a lot of people that were in these coastal cities where they had major shutdowns.
San Francisco, Los Angeles.
New York.
And
Chicago.
Right.
People just said, you know what, I don't want to do that.
Uh-huh.
And so they're coming out west. They're going to Montana, Wyoming.
Idaho.
Utah, Idaho. And Arizona, and you know, Phoenix is the fastest growing city in the country
right now.
And they can work from anywhere. So that's what's fueling this, the change of where I can work, and people that were in communities or cities where they were harsh lockdowns and said, you know, I don't want to deal with this anymore, and they want to go to more of an open space. So,
but that hurts a sector of the economy that you deal with specifically.
It does. So,
office space.
Let's begin with office space. So, you know, the interesting thing was in 2010, vacancy was about 13%. That was during the Great Recession and all. Mm-hmm. And vacancy at the beginning of the year was about 8.7. It's now moved up to 9.6 because you have some companies that have closed,
mm-hmm.
or the leases are renewing and they're and they're renewing at less amount. The interesting thing about office, so what's happened is the pandemic is shifting the face of office and what it's going to look like. We don't really know where everything's going to land because now people are saying, I don't know if I really want to work at home.
Right. That's starting to happen.
Right. I'm with my spouse 24/7.
When I say starting, the transition is happening back to the office. Maybe not 5 days a week, but it might be a hybrid situation.
Right. And I think you're going to see that hybrid situation.
Right.
And then people find out that the new employees, you know, you used to be able to go to the desk or their manager or whoever next door, and they can help you and train you and grow you. Now the new people aren't getting that.
They are not.
Hands-on training.
And you're not going to get that Zooming with a new employee.
No. And you don't get the socialization.
No.
So you're home all the time. If you're home all the time, you're working all the time. Mm-hmm. There's not a break between home. And so there is a feeling that in the beginning, everybody thought everybody's going to work away.
No.
Now it seems like it's coming back to office. Probably going to be a hybrid, just like what you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But office, obviously, you know, it's the demand for office space has been negative for the first three quarters. We talked about the vacancy. The rental rate's about $21, a little bit over that and change. They had about a 2.7% rate increase in growth. But we're still, this is an interesting stat, 65% below the national average, which is huge, right?
Wow.
So, but they took a hit. The pandemic is going to affect them. We don't know exactly where it's going to land, but, you know, it's going to be a little tough there.
Now, that took a hit. Now, one area that's not taking a hit is because everybody's ordering online, and these places like Amazon, they need a huge space that is near a metropolitan area to get the product to your door every day.
Right. So we're talking about industrial.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is since 2015, the big thing in industrial is e-commerce and logistics. Those type of industries are taking up the space. And since 2015, logistics inventory has grown to about more than 2.5 million square feet. So you're getting tenants like FedEx and Home Goods that have been coming here and all. So rent obviously is going up. Vacancy, you know, at its high point, again, was about 12.6%. It's 5.9% right
it's
now.
It's what percent now?
5.9%
right
now.
That's cut in half.
But the interesting thing is that's what's fueling this right now. And the leasing volume tumbled in the second quarter, but it's kind of edged a little bit higher. Most people right now, which is really hot, is that little small single space, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 square feet, those type of users people are looking at. But the interesting thing was the investment sales was about half of what it was the year before. So a little mixture there, some good news mm-hmm. that we were talking about as far as the e-commerce and the logistics, but the investment sales kind of dropped a little bit. So
then
that
reimagining the whole shopping center, how people are going to be shopping, not only with the big malls, but your kind of the mom-and-pa centers that we see all over Tucson. You got to wonder about their future, Hank Amos.
Well, you know, Amazon has definitely had a big impact. So you have, you know, we've lost Sears, and it started prior to the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. So we've had Sears and Macy's vacate space in Park Mall, JCPenney closed in Elkhorn, Steinmark just shuttered near Park Mall. So you've had some major tenants that have been here for years, right?
Oh, yeah.
Have left our marketplace, and that's because of, you know, e-commerce, right? Amazon has kind of shifted the atmosphere. But there's the feeling is that you need to have some type of brick and mortar and be on the internet, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a combination.
Again, a hybrid situation will be the way it's going to work.
A hybrid situation is going to be the way to go. But some of those mom and pops, because of these COVID restrictions,
yes.
really suffered a lot. So, you know, the rent is still below its peak in 07. You know, we're about $17, almost $18. The vacancy is about 6.2%. The demand that for retail right now, if you're trying to be an investor, is really for single tenant properties. You know, where you can buy it just one tenant's in there and
oh,
you
yeah.
buy it. That's pretty hot right now. But retail, you know, I think these strip centers are going to have a little bit of a tough time because mom and pop is not going to be there. And where can you go to get a loan? To go to bank and say, hey, look, I think this COVID thing is ending. I'd like to get a loan. They've already blown through everything. There's so much PPP money you can get. So I think there's some tough times for retail.
Do you guys still handle land sales?
We do land sales. And the big thing in land sales right now is really land for single family housing. That's where the demand is.
Yeah.
They can't build it enough. There wasn't enough of it zoned. It's kind of tough to kind of get it through. And so new home prices are going up because land is going up, which obviously has a reflection in the resale market. But, you know, that's a great investment to buy land right now and maybe put paper lots in there or put infrastructure in because builders are looking for land right
so
now.
So if you own land, say a lot, even like in the foothills, that's gold right now.
Well, yeah, the same things happen. So we talked about the price increases in single family.
Yeah.
Your lot in the foothills just went up dramatically too,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there's not that much left mm-hmm. in the foothills, right? And so much oceanfront property, right?
We have not talked about downtown.
Yeah, downtown is interesting right now because you see a lot of really well-known restaurants that have closed.
Sure.
There's not many people going to our downtown, kind of like New York City, but not to the same extent.
Right.
So, you know, they're having a tough time, but I think downtown, you're getting some housing coming in there and eventually all that will come back. And
it will. That will change when the theaters start opening up again, and that's going to happen. The Rialto and the Fox.
I hope so. The Rialto's closed.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, that will come back, I think. It's going to maybe take a little bit longer.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough. The hottest segment of the commercial market was multifamily.
Multifamily.
You know, again, people moving out here, which we talked about.
Multifamily is basically apartments, right?
Apartments, right.
Condo.
And they've been the king in commercial real estate for the last few years. The rent growth, 7%, $890 basically what it costs. Vacancy is about 4.9%. They had their all-time best fourth quarter, best year ever last year. And you know, there was one apartment community called Entrada sold for $65 million.
Entrada.
So multifamily is just on fire. And for years, we didn't have, you couldn't raise the prices and rents, but that started changing about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And people still think there's room to grow because we're still below the market. The national is about $1,400 a month. So we're at $890. So guys are still, folks are still coming in, buying our apartments. Cap rates are better than what they are in California.
They're not building the new apartments here in
town.
No,
they're not building right now. So I think, let's see here.
But we might get to that point?
Not much has happened in the last 3 years, but there's about 14, almost 1,500 units that are under construction right now.
Wow. All right. Good report, Hank Amos. Thank you for a good half hour. It's always a pleasure to see you. My best to you and your family. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Hank Amos, CEO and the chairman of Tucson Realty and Trust. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Lots of content put into our one-hour program. A good way to start the week on the Buckmaster Show. And we do it all over again in about 23 hours on the Buckmaster Show at 12:04 tomorrow. On behalf of Mr. Hank Amos and John Couch, engineering and producing the program, Bill Buckmaster saying, have a great afternoon, everybody.